believe I'm also on camera. Okay, so I am going to read each person's name who is a member of the board, and if you are present, please indicate by saying so. Eileen Akers.
Yes.
Astrid Farron Poole. Andrea Giudice. David Gregwire. Catherine Guzman.
I'm here.
Thank you. Samuel Pride. Beth Rival. Al Sylvester.
Present.
Mary Silverberg. I'm sorry, was that Mary Silver? Stephen Thaw. I believe Stephen is on the call, perhaps muted. Stephen Thaw.
Brian, this is Lisa Tangway. Stephen was going to call in on the conference number. I'm not sure if he connected.
He was on. Yeah, he was speaking to us, in fact. So I don't know if Steve is muted or something else.
Okay, present.
Okay, thank you. Randa Utter.
I'm present.
Okay, thank you. So the only one, I just want to go back to Samuel Pride. Are you on? Because if you are, you may have been muted. Someone is... Yeah, I see that he's on, but he's muted. Sam.
Good morning.
Good morning. All right, so Mr. Chair, I just want to, for purposes of a quorum, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You have 6 voting members out of 10 voting members, so you do have a quorum. I am now going to call on additional members who may be on the call, even though they're not members of the advisory board, just to acknowledge their presence. Mary Burgard.
I hear.
Christopher Lassen. Andrew Norton. I don't know if people are muted, because Andrew is on the call. He's waving, he's muted, so Andrew is on the call.
Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong, my apologies, I'm clicking at the wrong red mic.
Okay.
My apologies.
So is Christopher Lassen on or no? No, I do not see that he is on. Okay. Catherine Stout.
Good morning, I'm here.
Thank you. Tyrell Sampson.
Present. Good morning.
Good morning. Lori St. Amand. Lisa Tangway.
I'm here.
Thank you. Okay, now I'm going to move to members of the public that I believe are here, and we'll call names, and then if you are here, just acknowledge your presence. Jesse Stanley.
Yes, I'm here.
Lisa Flaherty Vaughn.
Yes, Lisa's here, yes.
Dawn Russell, Chair of our State Rehabilitation Council.
Here, good morning.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us at the advisory board meeting. And I'm looking to see any other names that I can recognize. I have called the names of everyone whose name I can recognize from the attendance. There are people who have phone numbers, so I don't know who those individuals are. Is there anyone else who wishes to identify themselves as being present?
Hey, Brian, good morning. This is Frank Lo Squadro. I'm present.
Good morning, Frank. For those who don't know, he is a new member of our State Rehabilitation Council. So welcome. We're thrilled to have two members of our State Rehabilitation Council joining the advisory board meetings. Very appreciative of the two of you to tune into this. Is there anybody else who is present whose name has not been called? Hey, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to turn it over to you.
Okay, very good. Thank you, Brian. Let me just get my video started here so you guys can see who I am and what I look like. Okay, so let me just switch over to the agenda here. Our first item on the agenda is public comment, and I just want to state for the record and for those who are not familiar with how the board operates, we have two opportunities for public comment. This section here, called public comment, oddly enough. And at the end, we have points to the good and welfare, at which time I will recognize members of the public who wish to speak. Because our agendas tend to be busy and rather packed, and board members often have much to say about our items, I would request that the public hold their comments until all board members have spoken. And as time permits, I will recognize members of the public to speak. And we will do so consistent with the protocols that have been developed to give our friends who use interpreters time to speak and be recognized. I would also ask that when you do speak, please start by identifying yourself and please speak slowly and clearly so the interpreter can understand what you say. With that, I invite anyone who has comment to please speak now. Any members of the public who speak.
Mr. Chair, just so I may, before any members of the public, I was remiss in acknowledging we have two members of our Deafblind Advisory Committee who have joined us, and I want to thank Jesse Stanley and Lisa Flaherty Vaughn, two members of our Deafblind Advisory Committee who have also taken their time to join in this meeting. So thank you to the two of you as well.
Thanks, Brian. And I too would like to extend a welcome to both the members of the Deafblind Advisory Committee and the members of the State Rehab Council. It's always a pleasure to welcome fellow advisors to this agency and to BESBE specifically. So I thank you for coming. And with that, I will put up a second call for public comment.
Mr. Chairman, this is Eileen Akers.
Yes.
Unfortunately, I was not able to attend the last board meeting, so I apologize if what I ask is redundant. It was very informative to have the information from the long-term care ombudsman and also from the aging the aging unit. My question is concerning collaboration. As an example, this the Department on Aging and Disability Services reminds me of a huge, huge superstore. So, for example, just to clarify what I'm looking for, at one point there was a deafblind resident of a nursing home, and she was having issues which were very unfortunate. My question is whether this would first come to Besby, or would the more appropriate path would that have been going to the long-term care ombudsman? So my question is, how does collaboration among these entities work?
Ryan, can you address that question?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I am in frequent contact with those two bureau directors, and there has been numerous occasions where if they receive the phone call and they know the individual is legally blind, they will reach out to me. And if it's an issue that involves something we need their assistance with, then I will reach out to them. We have had their staff present at some of our different programs, staff meetings, so that people could become familiar with the caseworkers that work under the two bureau directors. And there's also just some back and forth collaborations that occur between field staff. But we have had actual examples of exactly what you were asking about.
I'd like to remind everybody to please mute your microphone if you're not speaking. Getting a lot of feedback.
Actually, Al, there was a UFO that just came into my office, but I shoot him out and I close the door, so there shouldn't be another problem.
Very good. Thanks, Andrew. Any further public comment? Final call. Any further public comment? Hearing none, I will then move to the next item on the agenda, which is old business. Let me switch back to the agenda here. There we are. We have minutes from 18 March 2021 for action. Do I hear a motion to adopt? I need a motion to proceed.
This is Randa Utter. I motion to approve the minutes.
Do we have a second?
Senator Pryde, second.
Very good. Do we have any additions, corrections, or deletions that people would like to make to the minutes of 18 March 2021? Hearing none. All those in favor of adopting the minutes as presented, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Oh, sorry. Can we hold just for a moment, please? Ryan? Would you mind reading the roll?
I'm sorry.
Would you mind reading the roll from the advisory board so people can vote?
Unfortunately, you're going to need to give me a minute to do that. I need to go back on my screen. I'm sorry, but that will take me a moment. Okay, it's opening up now. I think I'll leave it open just so that if you need roll votes, we'll have it. Okay, so I'm going to do a roll call vote for the attendance of voting members only. And if you're muted, remember to unmute to signify your vote. Eileen Akers.
I abstain since I was not at the meeting.
All right, yeah, bear with me a second. It's locked. Catherine Guzman.
I approve.
Samuel Pride.
I approve.
Al Sylvester.
Aye.
Stephen Thal. Stephen, you're muted. You're still muted, Stephen. Randa Utter?
Aye.
So, right now we have 4 yeses out of the 6 voting members. We had one who abstained and one who we are unable to hear from.
Can we give Steve an extra minute? Sometimes there's a delay when you press star 6.
Steven, are you there? We cannot hear you. I don't know. But Mr. Chair, you do have 4 of the 6 voting members present who did vote yes, and I believe that that would constitute the majority of the members present.
Yes, the motion passes. Thanks, Brian. And I will just switch my screen back to the... Okay, so let's move on then to new business. Blind Americans Equality Day is coming up quickly. I don't know the exact date this year. Last year it was 15 October, so I imagine it would be the 14th this year, assuming it's the same day of the week. I have not heard from any board members. We do not have a committee that I'm aware of, which I find troubling because this is our opportunity to make our voices heard. It is a great opportunity to make our voices heard. And I want to remind advisory board members that last year's response was spectacular and that we don't need to replicate that or exceed that. Even a statement, a public statement, suffice as a recognition that Blind Americans Equality Day is important to us. So I would ask again if there are any volunteers from the advisory board who would like to form a committee to decide on how we will represent ourselves for Blind Americans Equality Day. With that, I will pause to give board members an opportunity to speak.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to call your attention. I know she's not a member of this board, but if board members have taken their opportunity to speak, it appears that Lisa Flaherty Vaughn was raising her hand.
Okay, Lisa, please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa Flaherty Vaughn. I am a leader here in the deafblind community in Connecticut. This is my first time participating, and I am very excited that you're talking about the Blind American Equity Day. Surprised that there's no response from the committee, but I would also like to say something that maybe has been overlooked. We have deaf, blind individuals historically who have been very involved in, you know, parts of other committees, but I know we've not been involved in this advisory board in the past. So I just wanted to maybe say maybe there should be, you know, collaboration there. Just a thought.
Lisa, am I hearing you volunteer for a role in preparing something for Blind Americans Equality Day?
Well, to be honest with you, I would be happy to. Unfortunately, I'm wearing so many hats at this point, I really can't take on, you know, another task singularly. I just wanted to emphasize again that, you know, I would like to make sure that the deafblind community has some involvement, that it's not just hearing blind individuals, but maybe we could work hand in hand to support each other, is what I'm suggesting.
Thank you, Lisa. Hearing no comments, then what I think I'm going to have to do is I will reach out to some board members whom I have in mind. Additionally, I will reach out to members of the Deafblind Advisory Committee, who I think would be most helpful in this endeavor, and see if we can prepare something that will show our recognition of Blind Americans Equality Day. I welcome any comments from board members on that proposal.
That sounds, Senator Pryde, that sounds good to me.
Thank you, Sam. It sounds as if then I have taken on a task for myself and members of the board and members of the Deafblind Advisory Committee. You can expect to hear from me very shortly. With that, let's move on to the next item of the agenda. Next item of the agenda is Bureau Update, Business Enterprises and Vocational Rehabilitation. For this section of the meeting, I will give you the floor, Brian.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the Business Enterprises Program, we have Tyrell Sampson, who will be giving an update. Tyrell, you can take it from here.
All right. Thank you, Chairman. Thank you, Brian. Good morning, everyone. Right. So as to date, the Business Enterprise Program currently has 7 business operations out of our 32 locations currently operating. That's Department of Labor, Bombardier, 70 Capitol Avenue, as well as our seasonal locations, Hammond Acid Beach Concessions, Hammond Acid Campground, or Camp Store, I should say, Rocky Neck Concessions, and Gillette Castle. Conversations have begun with the community colleges to whom we provide food service to regarding a fall semester resumption, and that's Manchester Community College, Norwalk Community College, Tunksis Community College, and Middlesex Community College. Each college has acknowledged the anticipation of a continued undetermined amount of online. Therefore, to semester reopening, an on-campus enrollment count will need to be identified from each of the colleges to ensure we, the Business Enterprise Program, provides a service in line with the population while providing a self-sustaining business opportunity for the business managers going forward. So, in addition, discussions have also begun with DAS Building Management in regards to the cafeteria location we provide food service to. That's 505 Hudson Street, 55 Farmington Avenue, 450 Columbus Boulevard, and 470 Capitol Avenue. As they prepare for the increase of employees in each of those buildings in July 1. As many of you may or may not know, there is a telework option currently being offered to state employees that allow for up to 50% with telework, up to 50% within a pay period. So ultimately, 5 days out of 10 days, employees may have the option to telework from home. We anticipate many employees will look to utilize this option. Therefore, at this time, a mutual agreement between DAS Building Management and our program was made to allow for cafeteria locations to remain closed for at least the minimum of the month of July to allow for our program to receive a population, an average daily population of each building going forward. Obviously, this information is critical in establishing a reopen plan, which may require the need to completely modify our current food service concept to a micro-market should daily population become significantly reduced in each of those buildings. During the time of cafeteria closure, we have DAS Building Management the option of a fresh food vending machine option to be placed within each of those locations, or the allowance of a food truck service to provide additional offerings should the agency find a need to offer above and beyond the fresh food machine. So we are giving those buildings options in which they are currently exploring. Last time I had given an update, we had talked about the DMVs and the concerns of resuming those locations. Those concerns are further by the latest news that was just released as far as, I mean, it's a plus to the public, not to our program, but essentially the online process has been found to work during the COVID period of the DMV. So therefore, so much so they're looking to add additional processes to their online appointment system, which will further reduce the public population in those buildings. So I am prepared to reach out to DMV and have this discussion as to where they see their going forward, which I would assume is going to again be impactful to our program and our operations. So I am preparing to reach out to them shortly. I was ultimately giving them a month. I figured I'd reach out sometime in August, with the assumption that, you know, there would be some restrictions lifted from the online process, but to get the news via news. In regards to the benefits of the online process, I figured there's no need to wait. We have to have tough discussions now. So that's kind of where I am with that. During the time operators have been closed, many operators have been fortunate enough to receive various financial offsets to make up for their financial losses. Unemployment insurance, paycheck protection program, restaurant relief grant funds, some operators received. So there have been many outside sources of funding during their time of closure. In addition, Congress has approved a financial relief and restoration payment to provide a one-time payment to operators within the Randolph-Shepard program to offset losses to the business manager that occurred as a result of COVID during calendar year 2020, if those losses were not otherwise compensated. Connecticut received approximately $317,000. That is a partial amount to the total loss of all operators' losses, in which we would look to be to distribute to those managers who have financial losses ultimately greater than the unemployment insurance received. The statewide committee of blind vendors voted to have the unemployment insurance be considered as an otherwise compensation. Therefore, some operators may have been observed to date have received more in unemployment than their comparative 2019-2020 earnings and may not be eligible to receive these funds. All funds will be completely exhausted, and we will look to use a prorated percentage amount to exhaust those funds and provide to those operators that had extreme losses above and beyond their unemployment. As of most recently, BEP has submitted on behalf of a selected business manager within our program a proposal for the food service opportunity at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy in New London. With the assistance of Brian Andrew, NFB, RSA, and the AG's office, Attorney General's office, we were able to receive the allowance to proceed with submitting a proposal for this opportunity. In addition, receive Randolph Shepherd priority acknowledgement on this food service solicitation. So the business manager selected and his teaming partner, in which he chose, because this is such a large operation, it required a teaming partner situation. This would be an extremely lucrative opportunity for the manager, and overall a win, I'd say, for Randolph Shepherd program as a whole. So the agency anticipates hearing back from the Coast Guard in about 6 weeks as to their selected vendor. So hopefully it will be us. Field reps continue to do a great job with working with each other, with each of their assigned business managers on a weekly basis in various capacities. Most importantly, we as a team are having weekly meetings regarding reopen plans, essentially for all of our locations. In addition, we continue to participate in various meetings, trainings, conferences to assure we're not missing any important information or guidance as to assisting business managers moving forward. We are actually nearing the one-year mark with the Pepsi transition for the statewide vending contract. Overall, Pepsi's been doing a great job in regards to this transition. Tracy Morin, who works within our team, and myself continue to have weekly meetings with Pepsi in regards to any area of concerns, as well as identifying new strategies in which we mutually feel may be a benefit to ensure maximum consumer satisfaction. All in all, the program remains very busy, and with the hopes we can allow operators to get back in their facilities and move forward in a manner that ultimately gives them the satisfaction they had pre-COVID. So that's where we are. A lot of challenges ahead, but we remain hopeful. We remain busy, we remain optimistic, so we will see.
Thank you. Any questions for Tyrell? Thanks, Tyrell. Any questions for Tyrell? I just want to give people an extra minute because sometimes I find this happens to me. I'll be fumbling around with my cursor to find the mute button, and sometimes it takes a little longer than you expect. Also, people on the phone, there is a delay when you press star 6, so I just want to give people an extra few seconds for questions. I do have a question for you, Tyrell. Can managers expect any compensation for uncompensated losses in 2021? You mentioned 2020. But do we know if there's anything forthcoming for 2021? Because ultimately they will have lost at least half a year's income, if not more.
Correct. At this time, we haven't received any acknowledgement of any federal-level uncompensated loss wages. Many operators are continually receiving unemployment at this time, so that's been a huge benefit. And so I think with that, at the moment, that's pretty much the only compensation. There actually was, and I take that back, there's actually a restaurant relief restoration fund that was recently offered. It was $27 billion from the federal level. Many of our operators did apply. Unfortunately, there was a 21-day minority priority. And within that 21 day, believe it or not, the $27 billion was already accounted for just with the small minority group first right opportunity. So they are going back to the federal government asking for 66 billion dollars more to complete the total application amounts received. So there may be additional funds in regards to